We are back. It is June 8th. We are recording this on 7:10 p.m. Central Time. We got a lot to talk about. We've taken a few weeks off here to recover from all the draft coverage, just reacting to everything that happened then. We also wanted to leave the draft pod up for a little while so people can make sure they caught up on our opinions with everything in the draft. But now there's a lot of news post-draft to go over. We're excited to talk about it on this podcast, so we'll be kind of going over mandatory minicamp, things going on there, and just some other little battles to look out for the summer that we should be looking out for. But I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of Blue Coulee crew. Right now, it's just Bob.
Hello. Greetings.
And then we'll have Rud Dog hopping on in a moment. But we are getting rolling here. UJ and Connor can't make it, but we do have our producer, Kid Jay, there, so maybe he can chime in if he has an opinion or two. Kid Jay, always want to hear your opinion if you have something to throw in there. So, yeah. All right.
Kid Jay's excited because Aaron Donald just took a huge contract, so I got him locked up.
Yeah, Kid Jay is a Rams fan, but I think he's a closet Lions fan, really. But,
I think so. I mean, producing this podcast, it has to bleed out to him, you know. He feels
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I mean, Kid Jay, do you have some, I mean, do you feel the Blue Kool-Aid energy when you produce this podcast?
A little bit, I'd say so. But I'm a little bit. And also, Cooper Kupp just got signed to a massive deal today, too. So,
yeah.
All the Rams are staying for a while.
Yeah, most guaranteed money ever to a non-quarterback in NFL history, Cooper Kupp.
Wow.
$115 million.
Crazy.
I don't know if it's all guaranteed, but almost all of it is. So, congrats to him. A guy that a lot of us wanted the Lions to draft back in that draft.
Yeah.
But now Matt Stafford's getting to throw to him on the Rams and win Super Bowls instead. There. With that connection. Anyways, let's go back here to the Kool-Aid, to the Blue Kool-Aid, and focus on some of these storylines in minicamp. So there's a lot to talk about here, Bob. A lot to talk about. The first thing I wanted to get to was our draft pick. You know, going in from the draft, the first thing that we should talk about is the number one pick for the Lions, or number two overall pick, number one pick in our first round. That is Aiden Hutchinson, of course, and he has looked, by all accounts, great in minicamp.
Oh, yeah.
Winning a lot of battles, getting the quarterback. Now, it's hard in minicamp to truly judge how good these guys are, because it's not full pads. It's not supposed to be full go. But how excited are you to hear that Aiden Hutchinson is dominating? And again, this is a lot against second and third string, I should mention, though.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, because a lot of these veterans who obviously have been around the league a while are watching him up close, and they're excited to see him, what he's doing. And his explosiveness, I guess, really jumps off the page. I mean, I've just been reading about it, but it reminds me of, like, when I went to that camp when Stafford was a rookie, and just seeing him, like, it was such a difference. Like, he could tell. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening with Hutch here. I mean, if you Stafford haters, it's different position, whatever, but I think he's a guy who's going to be an impact player, and it's only more reason to be excited from what I've heard coming out of camp.
Yeah, absolutely. He dominated Matt Nelson in this camp, who's been on the field a lot for the Lions the past couple of years, drawn some holding penalties, getting to the quarterback a lot. They call it NASCAR package, which is like kind of like super coverage, but it's basically just a pass rush. And he's looked great. That, I mean, super encouraging. Looking forward to a lot more hype from camp coming out about him, especially. Really exciting. You know, it's better than the opposite, like hearing he's not winning. So,
right.
People are saying, well, it's just mini camp. Like, don't look too much. Well, I'd rather hear he's dominating than, like, not hear about it at all. So,
I know. It seems like I've heard those stories in the past about guys. Where it's like, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't really count because of this. But he's just showing it right out of the gate, which is nice.
Right. I mean, it is definitely not, it's not full go. So it's, but it, yeah, it's still good to hear. Because you're not supposed to have too much contact here. Like, if you're, I don't know if you heard the Bears recently, they got a whole day of practice removed by the NFL because they broke contact rules. They're being too aggressive in practice, so they got a whole day of OTAs canceled from the NFL because of breaking the rules. That might even lead to a loss of a draft pick down the line as well. In the past, we've seen that with like the Patriots and some other teams who break the rules on contact.
Yeah, they probably went out and saw Top Gun, you know, because Maverick, he doesn't follow the rules.
Yeah, I have not seen Top Gun yet, but I know you said you loved it, and it's making a boatload of money, and a lot of people are loving that movie. So
yeah, it's really good. Well, yeah, I didn't hear that about the Bears. That's interesting. New coaching staff there, so you know they're probably doing some different things there. So, but they're still going to suck.
Already trying to cheat. So
yeah, right.
Maybe a sign of things to come. So another interesting note for camp here is who isn't practicing. So Penasini is excused right now, but the more interesting one, I think, is Josh Pascal, our second round draft pick. Second round or third round? Why am I drawing a blank?
It's second
round, right? Yeah, second round. And he is having leg issues, lower body injury. We're not sure if it's a knee or what. We just know it's some leg issues. He dealt with these at Kentucky too. Are you guys concerned at all with Josh Pascal going forward and already having these injuries without even practicing yet, and having a history of these injuries at Kentucky?
I would say that is a concern. I didn't know much about this actually, about this injury. But if it's a history of it, I'm assuming the Lions were well versed on this. I don't know how comfortable they are with this, but it's always a concern. But I'm assuming they're going to start everybody in slowly if they have an injury problem going on here. So
yeah,
I don't know. What about you? Have you got any insight?
I would definitely say it's a concern for sure. Especially the Lions in the past. I would say last year weren't necessarily good on the health side of things by any means. So yeah. I don't know if I fully trust this training staff yet, to be honest, to keep everybody healthy going forward. Now, I think a lot of these teams follow similar practices, but some are always better than others. So I'm definitely concerned. Something to look at. I hope he's out there for training camp so he can start getting the work in that he needs to, because this is he'll definitely get into rotation at some point if he's healthy. But
yep. It is concerning too, because they were looking for him to make an impact. You know, from what I've read about him, they're kind of excited to have him, and the defense needs all the help they can get. So,
yes, definitely. Rud Dog, you were gonna say something?
No, I was just saying injuries are always a concern because you never know what might come from them. You just, all you can do is hope he gets better.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the Lions did their homework to know if this is going to be a major, and hopefully it's not a major issue. I they're looking for help from him, especially in the run game, though.
In every facet, this guy, I think they see big things for him if he's healthy. His ability to, especially the way we're scheming to, you know, attack gaps. He is built to attack gaps. He's got that explosion and power. And if you just put, you know, on the pass game, that could be huge, you know, effective,
absolutely.
Especially interior.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. So other players that were at practice, but they didn't practice. So they're just kind of standing off to the side. Tight end James Mitchell, tight end Derek Deese. Then wide receivers, Jameson Williams, obviously. DJ Shark getting a day of rest. Romeo Okwara was there. So Romeo Okwara sighting.
Let's go.
Natrez Patrick, a linebacker, probably won't make the roster. Iffy, Melifonwu, Jerry Jacobs, and Deshaun Elliott. It should be noted that DJ Shark's coming off a broken ankle last year. Yeah, these are all guys staying off to the side. Then limited, meaning they just went through positional drills, but none of the team drills. Taylor Decker, Hawk, and Okuda. So it's good to see Okuda slowly working his way back.
Yeah.
That should be encouraging.
Yeah.
But now that I mentioned Hawk, that was one of my next questions too, and this is kind of an off-season thing. Do we expect Hawkinson to get signed before the season starts? I highly doubt it happens during. You rarely see them get signed during the season. and this is the last year of his contract, would I'm curious what percent confidence you guys have that the Lions will sign him, and do you think he will get a big payday?
I don't know. I feel like we might get to see him this season with on his contract year because, I don't know, maybe they see him as the part of the future, but to me, he still hasn't proven everything to be the guy we want him to be. Like, he shows flashes of it, but like his run or his blocking just hasn't been what we need it to be yet. I mean, I'm just curious. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if they want to see him put his whole game together before they offer him big money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping they sign him. I'm higher on Hawk than some of you guys, but I think the position is just getting paid a lot more now. So if he's with the Lions, he's going to get a decent paycheck. If not one of the top contracts in the league for tight ends. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to list out some of the top tight end contracts in the NFL right now. So George Kittle, he got 40 guaranteed, $75 million total. I believe that's over 6 years. No, 5 years. 5 years. Sorry, 5 years. Kelsey got $57 million, 14.3 a year. Dallas Goedert, $57 million. 35 guaranteed. Mark Andrews, $56 million, 37 guaranteed. Njoku just signed a big one for 54 million, 28 guaranteed. And then I'll throw in one more. Hunter Henry, $37 million, 25 guaranteed. Do you think Hockenson is better than any of those guys at this point?
I think he's better than Njoku, and I don't know about Kittle and Kelsey
in a range.
Yeah, definitely not Kittle, definitely not Kelsey. I mean, Dallas Goedert's pretty good. Mark Andrews he's probably the top receiver on the Ravens. I don't know, Njoku is good when they want to use him. They don't always throw to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much better or worse he is than these guys, but I'd say he's somewhat in that range. When he plays, when he's healthy, he produces, at least in the receiving game, similar to these guys, so...
Yeah, the way these contracts keep going, though, when they do sign him, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like top five tight end contract.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure that's what he's looking for. So if that's the case, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're looking at Njoku type contract, which is 3 years, $54 million.
Yeah, well, he said he doesn't care about the money.
That's a lot.
He just wants to win in Detroit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That was right. Quote,
so. He did.
I'm sure.
He's got the right attitude then, so that'll help.
But I'm sure he'll take money just fine. But yeah, what do you think, Z? What do you think? Do you think they'll sign him, do you think he's worth it?
This is such a tough one for me. I'm gonna say no right now at that value at $54 million over 3 years. I would not do it if I was the Lions. It hurts me to say because I really like Hawk, but I think he's going to need to prove it this year. I think I love him as a receiver. I don't hate him as, like, I think he's got really good value there, but I still haven't seen enough out of him blocking wise to make that contract worth it. And that was what he's supposed to be like best at. And I've just been disappointed by it compared to where he was drafted. And the reason why was because he was one of the most elite blockers anybody's ever evaluated at the position.
A complete tight end.
Yes, I don't think he's been complete, and that's why I don't think it's worth paying up for him. Where the Lions are,
and the interesting thing
right now, I think they get better value
if they don't sign him before the season. I think they may end up having to pay him a lot if they want to keep him, because I think he's gonna have a bigger year just because early in the season last year they had like nothing in the cupboard. It was like Swift and Hockenson was the offense, and Goff just had to dump it to either one of those guys. So, and they were doubling up on Hawk, and then he got some injuries. So I think he'll have a better opportunity to excel this year. The little pressure will be off him a little bit, and hopefully he's healthy. So we'll see. Time will tell.
I just don't know. I don't know if you can pay him that $54 million right now, though, based on just that. Like, I know it's so fleeting what we get from him every year, it seems. I know his injuries haven't helped either, but like, I don't know, like, where we're at right now. If this was us a couple years ago and he was the guy and the only thing we had, then that'd probably be a move I'd see us making. But we're not in a position where we need you know, well, I mean, you can always use an elite tight end target, but like we got so many weapons that he's not our only go-to guy that we don't necessarily need to break the bank to keep him.
Yeah, this is such a big, this is probably, and Campbell, Holmes era, this is the biggest year in terms of where the franchise will be going forward for the 6-year term that they have, because next year, if they cut Jared Goff, they save $20 million on the cap. I mean, Aquara could be cut and save $7.5 million. I'm just, because right now, if the season started next year, right now they have $12 million in cap space. It's not a lot to work with. So I was looking through it to see, you know, with that limited space, is it really worth it? But then the Lions, you know, in 2024 have $120 million free on their books.
Yeah.
So they've really planned this out in the future. But right now, if I was the Lions, unfortunately, I would say Hawk is not worth that money. And hopefully he wants to come back and he likes the coaching staff.
Yeah, if he's a real Lion. If he's that dedicated, he'll take the money. He'll take our deal we offer him next year, right?
Yeah, like Bob was saying, Hawk said he wants to win one in Detroit. Well, we'll really know if he becomes a free agent and
right.
With the Lions.
I'm just
at least next year if we pay him that money, we'll know what we're getting.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just glad he's there this year because on paper it looks like the Lions have a pretty complete offense right now. You know, if Goff you know plays well and people are healthy. So it'll be interesting to see what they're capable of.
Yeah, it's a super fun offense on paper for sure, especially if Williams lives up to his hype. Shark is healthy. And Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to play like he was.
And if you remove Hawk from the lineup, you're much less threatening from that position. I mean, from what we have, we got like.
Oh, absolutely. From what we have, yes.
Yeah. So that's another thing if you don't fam. Who's gonna play the position? You know, unless you got some hot rookie or get someone off the trade wire.
Right.
Yeah, it's really tough because it is a hard position to get a good.
Is it though? I feel like I feel like there's a lot of decent tight ends in the league, and a lot of them come in like the middle rounds. I mean, not a lot of like you know Kittles and Kelsey's, but like. It just seems like there's a lot of decent tight ends that do good for their quarterbacks. Like every decent tight quarterback in the league seems to have their tight end and who's at least solid, you know, like, what was it like Charlie Hooper? Is that like, there's like a lot of just really good, solid tight ends in the league. And you don't need
you mean Austin Hooper
or Austin Hooper. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of some tight ends that are like, not necessarily the superstars, but they do just solid work. They block, they you know, they convert. They play the seam for their quarterbacks, but aren't necessarily elite receiving targets like Kelce's and Kittle's and what you want Hawk to be. So I'm not convinced that it's hard to acquire a solid tight end. A high-end tight end, yeah, but a solid tight end who can hold down that position when you got a really talented wide receiver core, I think could be attained not that hard. Like Brock Wright might even turn into one.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't hold our hopes on the tight end position with Brock Wright.
I ain't saying that, but
can they convert Cephas? Because he's probably getting cut from receiver.
That's a good.
Bob, are you doing some shrooms or something? You're talking crazy nonsense.
No, I mean,
Bob read my outline. That's a good.
He did have a good one-handed catch in camp, but you know, I don't know. That's all.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Don't worry. I know for you, Bob.
That's a good transition into our next one, though, is the training camp battle that seems to be coming down for that last wide receiver spot. And really, it seems to be right now in the early going with camp, Cephas versus Benson, Trinity Benson, the guy we traded from Denver last year, and Khalil Pimpleton, the undrafted rookie.
How many are you having make the roster with that?
Five wide receivers.
Oh, only five? We're going to keep more than five.
I think they'll just keep six this year. I mean, just looking at...
I wouldn't be surprised if we kept seven.
Because you got Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra. Sorry, I'm driving, so I can't look at...
Shark.
Yeah, Shark.
No, you're fine, yeah.
Khalif Raymond.
Williams. Khalif Raymond.
Reynolds.
Reynolds, yeah. So that's already five.
Right?
Reynolds, yeah. That's five. So I guess I'm, six. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're just assuming all those guys beat Cephas, and I think that's a bad bet.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
But it's not a bad bet.
Templeton's kind of an exciting X factor, whether he can do it or not, but he's an interesting guy.
I bet he's going to have a fun preseason.
Yeah.
That's my hot take. He's going to be that guy who has like an amazing preseason, but somehow doesn't make the team. Or he makes the team. I wouldn't be surprised. But
who was that
prediction.
Running back that we had a couple of years ago? Ended up getting signed by the Eagles, little guy, and out of the backfield.
Super
speedy.
I can't come up with the name right now. But
I can't remember the name for the life of me right now. He was from a small school, too.
We really liked him. Everyone liked him, but they scooped him up.
Preseason can be deceiving too. A lot of people have good preseasons.
Hey, and see,
you know, don't make the team.
Blau's impressive training camp run was also aided by Trinity Benson. I guess Trinity Benson and him were paired up pretty well together. So he's showing flashes. He didn't do much.
So we're
going to
keep Trinity Benson around.
Benson and
Tevis
have been going back to back. A lot of like the Lions have been doing this drill where they start at their own 19-yard line with. Only like 25 seconds left, so they have 81 yards to go in about like 27 seconds or something like that. And that's where Cephas and I guess Benson have been really showing up in that drill, making some like spectacular catches to keep the drives alive. And also some really interesting backup quarterback battle going on with that drive too, with David Blau and Tim Boyle both succeeding and not succeeding. A really interesting drill that the Lions have been running every day at OTA.
That's cool. Man, there's no doubt this is going to be a crazy battle because, like, who knows? I mean, honestly, I think everything's up in the air outside of, like, St. Brown and Williams. Like, I'm not locking Reynolds onto this roster. I'm not locked because, I mean, when you got guys like Benson coming out, I'm just saying you don't know. And these guys are going to have to earn their spots this year. There's too much talent. No one's going to just be giving it outside of some of those young guys who are already proven or you know, haven't proven it anything yet.
I disagree. I think Reynolds, Brown, Shark, and Williams are all a lock, and Raymond, like, 95%.
Yeah. Oh, Shark is a lock. I forgot about Shark.
I agree with you, Z, on that. I think it's that last.
I mean, they just gave Raymond 2 years, $9 million, so that'd be, I mean, a big black eye and really confusing signing if he didn't make the roster out of camp.
That wouldn't be confusing if it was just panned out in camp that he wasn't winning the spot. I mean, nothing confusing about that at all.
I think Khalil Pimpleton would be a practice squad guy, most likely. That could come up later.
I could definitely see that.
Inevitable injury. I mean, he is an undrafted rookie free agent. He'll be with the Lions all offseason. So I don't think he'd want to go to another team.
Yeah.
I'm just speculating early here, but that's what my prediction is right now. But if I had to pick between Cephas and Benson, if I had to just a guessing man right now, I hate to say Road Dog, but I think the Lions are slightly more invested in Benson for some reason, and I think they're going to go with him over Cephas.
I mean, they want to make bad decisions.
And Cephas was a Quinn Trisha guy, right? So, so they're not as tied to him.
That doesn't matter. Talent's talent.
That's a really good point.
That's silly. If they're basing it off who their guys are because they brought them on, then that's
not
the guys I thought.
They brought them on for a reason.
I mean,
yeah, that doesn't matter though.
It's
you're
just another factor.
Talent. That doesn't mean sure.
Yeah,
but Cephas's overwhelming talent will prevail. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, I mean, all right. What is XFL or whatever? They'll show up somewhere.
No, on the Lions.
What's that league where Johnny Manziel is like? Blazes a joint.
Oh,
then fan controlled touchdown.
Fan controlled football league. Yeah. Where the fans like all vote on like what play should be run every time. So Rudd Dog can you would vote to throw it to Cephas every play in that one. So maybe that's
I mean, if you want to score points,
you to this marriage of you and Cephas.
You want to score points, it just makes sense. But
a little fun tidbit here. I know UJ isn't on the pod, but Jonah Jackson got hurt today. So guess who took reps at the guard spot with him hurt? He was wrapping up his arm, I guess, in a big bandage. So Stenberg.
Logan Stenberg.
Taking first team reps in OTAs today with Jackson out. So I thought that was an interesting little tidbit.
I like how Stenberg's the story, not the fact that Jonah Jackson's hurt. How bad? Come on.
I don't think it was too bad. I think we'd hear about it by now. He just didn't practice the rest of the practice and just had his arm wrapped up. So I would imagine something small, and it's OTA, so don't risk it.
Well, I mean, if Stenberg's
heard
not
something about it more.
Sorry, I didn't mean to catch up, but if Stenberg's gonna step up at any point, this would probably have to be the year. So shouldn't be surprising that he's filling in on the next line. I mean, what is this, year four for him now with us?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, year four.
Oh, is it already four? Wow, so it's time flies.
Yeah, I'm just gonna confirm it right now.
I thought it was three, but you're probably right.
You're right. Three.
Oh, is it three? Well, still three. Right, year three. That's still three. Year three. He should be having either know what you have in him or not by now. You know, by this year.
Yeah. What was the story on Pennacini? Why was he not
playing? No word. He's just excused from practice right now. So I don't know if it's a family thing or what, but
that's not good. He needs to be there.
I mean, now that we're on the offensive line, though, I mentioned Taylor Decker just taking, just doing positional drills, nothing team wise. But Big V said he kind of he hired a chef this offseason. All reports are saying that he's leaner and moving around really well. So hopefully that helps with his health. If we have it's maybe Big V will stick around. I predicted that he'd be gone, but at this point, it seems like he'll be sticking around.
Hey, he's got the tools.
And if we can get some good reps out of him, because now this is the part of the contract that it's actually going to start paying off, because we kind of paid him a lot up front. So he's only costing Big V this year 8.7 against the cap. So if we get that Pro Bowl level guard play that he's capable of, at least in the run game, at 8.7, that's a deal
with him. And I think him and Sewell are going to have a good year next to each other. It sounds like they got a lot of camaraderie, and I've heard even Sewell has come back even stronger. Like, well, I mean, as predicted, but like, you know, you get stronger every offseason, but it sounds like he's just super strong and ready to go. He's dominating.
Absolutely. If you guys had to guess who is our, so Jared Goff is our highest cap number, $31.1 million. Then Decker at 18.9. Then Aquara at 14.5. Okuda is fourth at 9.1. Who do you think is our fifth highest cap?
Highest.
8.975.
Ragnow
is his cap number.
Hutchison.
Mm-mm. Nope. I would never got this.
Hold on. James Williams.
It is not. No. So Michael Brockers.
Oh.
8.975.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make
it. That's bad right now.
Yeah, that's overpaying.
I think I would be.
Well, we don't save much money cutting him. We save $1 million, and we have a dead cap hit of $8 million. No. So I think he's sticking around, unfortunately.
I think we got a lot of young talent and stuff, and we signed a couple intriguing guys that might be able to push him off this roster. Like that kid we just signed. From is it Jort out of Atlanta, that big giant DN or just lineman who was like 6'5", 285 and ran a 4.7 or 4.69.
Oh, John Kaminsky.
Kaminsky, like kids, I think I could see someone like him pushing Brockers out. Someone big, strong, and young. Fits our scheme too.
There was 8 waiver claims for him.
I know.
And so a 25% of the NFL wanted him, but the Lions, as long as the Jaguars don't want him, they have the second.
Right.
Highest rights to every player that comes on the waiver wire. So really interesting there that the Lions are able to grab him.
I just want to be surprised if he pushed Brockers off the roster. We didn't see a ton out of Brockers last year. He didn't impress me much. He's like one of the oldest guys. I just see like it wouldn't hurt to move on from something like sort of like how do we move on from Trey Flowers, but obviously slightly different, but just we don't need old guys who aren't necessarily, you know, playing great.
But for the money, I'm sure they're going to keep him. And I'm guessing Holmes brought him in for not only his play, but another X factor that they like, you know, kind of players they want. You know, so he'll be here for this year at least.
Yeah, I think if anything, Pennacini would be on the cutting block before him.
You're always after him, Z.
I just don't think he offers much.
Well, you're not watching close enough.
He's mediocre to below mediocre.
No way.
I wouldn't say he's great.
He'll be here. He'll be here.
Someone that's put up really impressive camp so far is Deshaun Cornell.
That's interesting.
Interesting name to throw out there. Two names, actually. Him and Austin Bryant. Their names have come up a lot of people that are impressing earlier right now. Austin Bryant just wants to stick around for as long as possible with the Lions. And then Deshaun Cornell, if you don't, seventh round pick out of Ohio State, used to be a five-star recruit in high school, has had a ton of injuries since he's been picked.
You know, that's actually one reason I think Pennacini has a better chance of making this team. Him and McNeil are really the two nose tackle types, and that still works in his favor because, I mean, they got so much talent, but they're all like DNs. They're all like 280 guys and big and strong and fast, but not necessarily run stuffers in the center.
Well, I think a big change this offseason is going to be the way the Lions play D-line. They're moving more to a 4-3 type defense.
Right.
So that's going to, because Lions were kind of playing the 3-4 more, where the nose is kind of playing two gaps.
Right.
Which is, it's tough. It's really tough to do effectively, especially at the NFL level. So I think that actually hurts Pennacini even more.
No, that's obviously not his. But I mean, I'm actually curious to see how he handles it. But yeah, that wouldn't be what I would say is his best strength. But there's still something to be said for just a run stuffer on short down situations right up the middle. I mean, you got McNeil, but another one, just having two is not a bad thing.
Brockers.
Brockers is not as good at toughing as Pennacini is. He doesn't have the lead in his pants like that.
He'll probably be starting over him, though.
I don't know.
But all around, he's a better player. But
hey, Z, with those changes, Campbell specifically mentioned Aleem McNeil is benefiting from them. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I think they have really high hopes for McNeil. We haven't heard too much about Amunzirike just because I think he had a disappointing year last year, but maybe that was because of injuries. Hopefully he's healthy, ready to go, because his get-off looks good right now.
I saw that he actually graded out really well last year in his short reps and stuff. Like, he actually did flashed a lot of good things that weren't necessarily on the stat sheet. And like I watched a video. Someone did a Brado breakdown how he flashed everything you want, and especially how it's going to come out this year with our attacking gap defense, which is like all these guys we drafted, all explosive, powerful D linemen who will benefit from just attacking the gap instead of the men and holding the ground.
That's the Kool-Aid take that we needed on Woods.
There you go. All right.
Hey,
I like it.
His upside. We drafted him in the second round for a reason.
Oh, yeah. A cornerback that's actually impressed so far by reports. Who do I have here? I'll come back to him. The name is lost in my notes here. I had him. Well, anyways, I'll tell you the person that isn't impressing right now. He's going through a lot of rookie struggles at the moment. Is Kirby Joseph, our new safety from U of I, our third rounder. He has looked lost at times out there, but I guess it's expected. This is OTAs, but just something I thought.
Better lost now than in camp.
To note, yeah.
Though on that, a related note, I heard Iffy has been taking some reps at safety now.
Did you see Okuda? They asked him about it. He's like, I've never played safety. Nobody's talked to me about that ever. Because there have been speculation from fans and stuff before. Some writers that they might switch him.
Right.
It doesn't sound like that's in the plans at all.
Okuda?
Yeah, Okuda.
To safety?
Yeah. You didn't hear that chat earlier in the year? They're talking about moving him to safety.
I heard a mascot.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
But
he said, yeah, I'm not surprised he has no intention to play that right now. He's still just got to come back to form, period.
Yeah.
If he can't get back to form at corner, then maybe you start considering how to salvage career with a position move, but we drafted him at 2 overall or whatever, 3, whatever it was, 3, to get freaking a cornerback, not a safety.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
yeah,
they did want Kyle Hamilton too at one point. So you never know.
I'm just saying why we drafted him specifically.
I found the cornerback I wanted to just bring up. Chase Lucas, our late round draft pick. Arizona State.
Is he the guy who's like 25 years old? Is that the guy?
Yeah, he's old. He's 6 years in college.
And what are you bringing up about him?
Oh, just that he's looked good in camp so far, at least covering Khalil Pimpleton a lot. He's looked good reportedly and so switching off people, communicating.
Good for him or bad for Khalil Pimpleton?
It's hard to say. I'm being there. But it is... That's just something to look for, you know. Maybe a name that sneaks up there at the end. Mike Hughes is taking more first team snaps over AJ Parker at the slot corner or the nickelback. That's kind of slot corner position. So something else to look for there too. I thought it was an interesting tidbit from Deuce Staley about Swift.
Yeah.
Seems to be a little bit of a shot at him to get his head maybe right. In terms of saying Swift this year needs to know the difference between being injured and being hurt. Hurt means you can play through it. Injured means there's absolutely no way you can play through the injury. So I was just curious what do you guys think of Deuce Staley. This is kind of like calling out your guy.
But
I think it's good.
We want to see Swift on the field. He misses a lot of time in his career.
I think it's good to give him a little challenge, you know? I mean, push him.
Yeah.
The guy's a big part of our offense, and if he's on the field, we're better, you know? So get him out there.
I think it's advice that could save his career. Honestly, it's the kind of, you know, you got, I mean, I'm not saying Swift has been, you know, faking it or something, but obviously Staley felt the need to say this, and this kid needs to be available more. Otherwise he's going to find himself, you know, struggling to keep a job. So
yeah,
that was good advice.
And he did bulk up over the offseason, from what I understand, Swift. So he's a little stronger this year. So hopefully that'll translate to keeping him healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, let's hope he can stick around and get on the field a lot more this year than he did last year.
His upside is just so tantalizing.
It's fun to watch when he's in. When he's in, it's a lot of fun to watch, especially with this offensive line. This starting offensive line did not play a single snap together last year. So our projected starting five. So I think that's also a huge thing to look forward to this year. Maybe don't even play him in the preseason. Let's just get him on the field for week one so we can at least see one snap before someone gets hurt, and then that dream is ruined.
Let's hope we're all healthy. Remember last year we had like the mysterious finger injury of Decker's, like a finger, tape it up, you know. But I mean, obviously there's more to it ultimately, but at the time it's like, what the hell? Hopefully it's no weird mysterious injuries this year.
Yeah. The team and him did not help himself by just being so mysterious about it too. Really bizarre.
I know.
Yeah, that is. But you know, to what you said something earlier, Bob, like about this offense having like being complete, I think this whole team, like if you look at the roster outside of maybe, I would argue, like one linebacker position.
One.
We have like proven starters. Oh, maybe two. There's proven starters at pretty much every position on this roster. Like if we're, as long as everyone's healthy, like our upside is like huge. I mean, granted, you know, the odds are that's not necessarily the case. But on the other side of that, as much as our front end of our roster has improved, the depth on this team has improved a lot too. So I predict, you know, we'll be able to even weather the storms that much better this year, which, you know, are inevitable unless we get super lucky and don't get any injuries, which, you know, I'm open to that.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's an optimistic take on the defense, particularly considering how far we had to go. But I do think our line is really solid compared to last year.
It's proven stars.
And we got a lot of potential. I mean, if Okuda comes back and safety position, we won't have to rely on Harris now. We've got that other guy brought in. So who knows? We'll see.
I'm not even accounting Okuda in that equation. If he comes back, to me, that's a cherry on top. Like, I think we could do it with the guys like we had last year, like Jerry Jacobs, Awarie, the guy we signed this year, probably having a good chance of contributing. Parker, like if Okuda comes back, then oh man, that's gonna be just that much sweeter if he proves to be the guy we drafted.
Yeah,
that would be incredible.
Oh yeah.
I haven't I haven't heard too much about Malcolm Rodriguez. I think I heard a couple of good things. I mean, it's always tough. It does
before pads.
7-on-7 is probably the most valuable thing going on in OTAs right now.
Yeah, and I don't think he's a guy they're projected to start anyway. Or he's gonna be a special teamer.
But our linebackers are so bad.
That's true.
I mean, seriously,
that's true.
I could see him being a really good first two down linebacker inside, like. Just with his instincts and his ability to sift through traffic and, you know, get in there and stuff the run. Like, if he could be in there early on just to, you know, help shut down the run, I could see him with a role like that early on.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of upside, but I think it's like a couple of years down the road, personally. I mean, I don't know what you guys think of
that. And I did read another observation from a reporter that said Jared Davis got beat over the top by a tight end a couple times.
This is my shocked face.
He's back. He's back.
I hope we're not having that. We didn't bring him back to have him covering tight ends, though. That that would not be a good sign.
Yeah,
I think the worst. I think the worst memory of Jared Davis covering a tight end is Ezekiel Elliott catching a fourth down pass over him on. As down the sideline against in Dallas,
Ezekiel Elliott played tight end.
No, running back. Sorry, but this is just Jared Davis in coverage in general.
Yeah,
he's
rough.
It's been an adventure.
Hopefully, they'll put him in a position that'll benefit his skills. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any opinions on David Blau looking better than Tim Boyle right now in OTAs?
That's interesting. I mean, I like Blau, and
they still keep him around.
I liked Blau or Boyle more than you guys did, but it sounds like Blau's winning the battle, that second string job, and I'm okay with that
right now. Yeah.
If Blau actually wins it out this year, that would be really because, I mean, that means Boyle probably really shouldn't be on this team.
Well, didn't he win it basically last year? Then he got hurt. Well,
Blau?
Yeah.
I thought Boyle was like penciled in number two from like day one almost. And then.
Oh, I thought it was the other way.
Yeah.
Kind of played out.
I think Boyle, was always the number two because it didn't even seem like he deserved to be a number two, but they kept him there.
Right. So. We signed him big from the Packers and gradually.
Right, with like a spotty history.
Yeah. So if that'd be really interesting. I think if a second team quarterback loses their job, they should probably just not be on the roster. Find someone else to come in.
Boyle's an intriguing guy, though, to me personally. But just because, I mean, not that I want him to be a starter in the league or think he will be, but he's got a really nice arm, you know. But he obviously doesn't have the whole package together because he can throw a nice ball. But obviously, it takes more than that to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, in shorts and a t-shirt, just throwing, you know, down the field, he looks great. Like got that tight spiral. He's big, strong dude, athletic. But for whatever reason, he doesn't have all the intuitions that go into being, you know, an NFL quarterback.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, we'll see. A lot of people thought we might change up that spot. They didn't, so it's something to look forward to. We're almost done with the podcast here, but I did have one more question for you guys.
All right.
If you had to pick one streaming service, Netflix or Hulu?
I think you know where you're going with this. I would say Netflix.
Yeah, Red Dog, what would you say if you had to pick one? Gun to your head.
I take the gun. No. I don't know. Fuck it. Hulu, just to be contrary.
All right. Kid J, producer, Netflix or Hulu?
I'd say Hulu.
Oh my God.
All right. Wow. Well, all right. Two of you for Hulu, one for Netflix. So Deuce Staley was right because he said he wanted Craig Reynolds to go from Netflix, from being Netflix to Hulu.
Who are you? Are you Hulu?
Oh, I would say Netflix. So I guess.
Now you just ruined your whole thing.
Fair. But Bob and I were just talking about before we hopped on here about the bizarre comment that he made in regards to Craig Reynolds. Like we thought maybe it was like he wanted something to get worse or stay the same. It was just a bizarre comment or simile, I guess, or metaphor. Sorry, metaphor.
Yeah, why do they call him Netflix in the first place again? Because there's something to do with him. Like
because he was sitting on his couch, I think, watching Netflix when they signed him. Like Like he said, oh, I'm on, like, what do you do? They asked him what he's doing now. He's like, I'm on the couch watching Netflix.
Maybe Hulu is the official streaming service of the Lions locker room. And he was saying he wanted him to be in the locker room.
Hmm.
You know, maybe he's just saying sure, something maybe. Nice like that.
I have no idea. anyways, just a bizarre comment, but I thought a fun one to end this podcast on.
Have you seen the nicknames that Dan Campbell keeps coming up for McNeil with? Oh, shoot. I got to remember. One was like, you've heard Twinkle Toes.
Was that like Sausage?
I can pull them up here for you.
Or something weird.
Mac. Hey, you call them a hilarious one.
Buttercup?
Buttercup. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
That was funny.
There's Mac. Twinkle Toes and Dancing Bear as well.
Yeah, Dancing Bear. Oh, and just one more note on him. In his interview, he talked about hiring a dietitian and stuff. He didn't say his weight, but I imagine he's lost some fat, so that will only help his game.
Yeah, Ali McNeil's upside is very... it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Indeed.
It'll be fun to watch.
Fight.
But this team, with all, you know, we're talking about all these quotes. It's going to be fun on Hard Knocks.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Wait. No doubt. But I think that we're going to wrap it up here. But we're back podcasting, talking about our favorite team, and drinking the Blue Kool-Aid Heart as we head into the summer here. So we took a little break between the draft and now, but we'll have something to talk about. I don't know if it'll be every week. We might do every 2 weeks, at least for summer here. But it won't be as long of a layoff as we just had between the draft and now. So look forward to that. Thank you to our producer, Kid Jay. Thank you to SidelionReport.com. Always appreciate them hosting the podcast and all the content that they put up on their site. It's really cool. Go check it out. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Really appreciate it. We'll see you soon. And last but not least, as always,
go
Lions! Woo! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!